I'm Pastor Sean from Redeemer. I am the church planning pastor there. I've been on staff there since April. I'm also, besides the Celebrate Recovery, I'm also the outreach guy there. And I just want to thank all the kids for donating all that, all their coins that they probably want to hold on to so they can use for themselves, because it is always a blessing for me to see those kids out there and worshiping the Lord and giving back. I actually started in children's ministry, so with the kids, it's a very special place in my heart, and I'm trying not to get too emotional right now, but it's just great. They are our future, right? And the more we pour into them, the more we teach them about the Lord, the better our future will be for everyone. So today, again, we're going to be in Luke 4 through 16 through 21. Before I get into the scripture, I have three different stories that I read about that are very pertinent to this scripture. One is a young woman named Lisa that felt lost after her college graduation. One day she heard the story of a missionary who adopted orphans in a foreign land. Inspired, Lisa began to volunteer at a local orphanage. She found purpose and joy, knowing she was making a difference. Lisa's experience is a powerful reminder that joining Jesus in his mission often starts with small acts of service that can lead to greater transformations, just like you saw with the kids this week at your VBS. Another one is Sarah, a church member, lost her mother to cancer and found herself struggling with grief. I think we can all kind of relate to that losing someone and having that grief. But instead of withdrawing, she began visiting others in the hospital, sharing her story and offering comfort. Her pain became a connection with others' suffering, and she led several to Christ through her empathy. Joining Jesus' mission, again, begins by transforming our deepest struggles into a catalyst for healing and outreach to others. A man named John felt his life lacked purpose until he volunteered at a local shelter, helping those in need. One day, he met a single mother who had lost her job. John listened, offered support, and prayed with her. In that moment, he realized he was living out Jesus' mission of love and compassion. Joining Jesus in his mission transforms not just the lives of those that we serve, but ours as well. It gives our lives the meaning we often seek. Just like these stories, today's passage points to that fact. We are to join Jesus' mission of extending love and justice through acts of compassion and service to transform not only individuals, but communities as well. And we see this through church planning, right? Communities, going out to communities and sharing the gospel with those communities that may not be hearing it. But before we get into verses 16 to 21, I think it's important to go back to verses 14 and 15. Before this is when Jesus is coming, this is the tail end of Jesus coming off of being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. So by this time, he's tired. He had a long time being tempted in the wilderness. But yet, he never sinned. And now, he's returning with the Spirit. As we see in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding areas, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. I think we can easily read that and miss the point. Jesus is actually returning with the Spirit, that same Spirit that we have. That same spirit that sent him into the wilderness to be tempted, he brings back with him in his mission. People have been talking about him. He's been doing teaching, healing. He's doing all kinds of wondrous things. Just imagine that time, being in that time, in different little villages or towns, and just hearing the things that this man is doing. It's wondrous. It's amazing. Sometimes it may even be hard to believe for some people. But as they were talking, there's something that really caught my attention in those two passages is, and that's in verse 15. He taught in their synagogues. For me, that word there really brought attention to that for me. And it brought many questions for me. Why that language? Why there? Why doesn't he consider it part of his? And that may be because he realizes that man has put some things in there that shouldn't be in there. Some rules that may not be there, that shouldn't be there, that aren't meant to be there. Maybe they were glorifying man rather than God in some of these synagogues and worrying about their own personal needs. So that's one of those things that we can catch and say, okay, where do we learn from this? What are we trying to get from this? I think it's important to realize that we go to church. They went to the synagogues to glorify God. Not any other purpose, but to glorify God as the body, as believers, as people that worshiped God came there for the purpose of God, not for ourselves. None of us are here today for ourselves. We are here today to glorify God, to give God the credit, knowing that if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. You would have never made it through those doors. You wouldn't be going and doing anything you do during the week. The kids this week at VBS were stirred by God to be able to sacrifice as well. How well are you sacrificing today? Are you willing to give up more for the glory of God? We have to remember it is not our worship. It is the worship of God and God alone. Now we have some background going into these verses, these short verses that have so much packed into them. Verse 16 and 17, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and found the place where it was written. Before I go too much further, let me pray for my time here. God, I just thank you for this opportunity today. I thank you that we can freely be here to worship you. God, let it be glorifying to you. Let my words be the words that you have ordained for today. And if there's anything not of you that comes out of my mouth today, let everyone easily forget it. God, I thank you for your children. I thank you for your sovereignty. I thank you that we can come here together to love one another and glorify you together. In Jesus' name, amen. My first point today is Jesus declares his mission with clarity, and we see this in the first two verses, 16 and 17. What we need to understand here is he came to Nazareth. This is the place where he grew up. Everybody knew him. The towns at that time were very small. It's not like today. You wouldn't know some of the people even on your street. But everybody kind of knew everyone during that time. So everybody knew who Jesus was in Nazareth. They knew he was a normal child growing up. He was a carpenter. He just looked and did everything else everybody else did, right? So to hear these things that he was doing, this teaching that he was doing, must have came a real shock to them. Thinking, how can this little boy that grew up here that we all know that is just as normal as any other little boy in their eyes, how can he be so amazingly in the Word of God and be able to teach and do the things he's doing at this time? Just imagine that. Just put yourself back in that time. You grew up in Nazareth. Maybe you were a childhood friend of Jesus. And now you're hearing he's out doing all these miraculous things and wondering, this isn't the same kid I grew up with. It doesn't seem possible. Yet it is. Jesus was different. Again, at this time, he's just coming off of being in the wilderness and being tempted. Yet he didn't sin. There's probably not a hand that would go up if I asked if there anybody else here was able to do that. We all fall short, but Jesus never fell short. And then we see him, he's going into the synagogues as his custom, which is another amazing words for me and brings up a lot of things for me. That was his custom. It wasn't something that he just did every once in a while. It's not something said, oh, today sounds like good. I'm just going to go down to the synagogue today and just hang out there and be there. No, he made it a custom. He committed his life to it, making it a priority in his life. Jesus made it a priority to go corporately to worship God. Are we making it a custom today? Is it our custom to come together corporately to worship God? Or do other things sometimes take priority over it? I'm going to be completely honest this morning. I am tired this morning. Yesterday we had our Redeemer's annual block party, and I'm the outreach guy there. So I was at the park from 8 till about 9 o'clock, 8 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. But guess what? I feel amazing right now. Why? Because I'm with a family of believers that can encourage me, that strengthen me, and God's word is living. And when we are the weakest, God comes within us. His spirit is within us to strengthen us when we are the weakest. Are you taking advantage of that today? If you're sitting here today and you are tired, you're hurting, God is with you. That same spirit that God had, or Jesus had in him in the wilderness, is in you. Do you realize that today? As a part of my Celebrate Recovery ministry, I come across broken people that are hurting beyond belief. But in those times, God is still with them. And sometimes we forget that. That's why this is so important. That's why Jesus made it a custom to be in the synagogue, because he knew he needed other people around him as well. We need encouragement. We need words of wisdom. Sometimes we may even need a shoulder to cry on. How many times have you come into church just feeling down. But yet you put that mask on and say, I'm good. Instead of being honest. The church is a hospital. We're all broken. We all have some kind of struggle. Are we going to admit that to each other? I'd argue that, you know, just admitting those things is glorifying to God. It's confessing, isn't it? He goes into the synagogue like he was so used to, that he made a priority, and he stands up to read. A whole bunch of questions pop in my head for that one. Why is he getting it up to read? Was he invited? Did he just feel like he should get up to read? Why? We'll find out in a little bit. And there's a big purpose why Jesus got up to read. But not only did he get up to read, he was handed the scroll of Isaiah. Why Isaiah? Doesn't really say until you actually read what he read from Isaiah. And it's a powerful passage of who Jesus is. When he got up to read, he was handed that scroll and he opened it to where he wanted to read from. Now, just think of it this way. You have your Bible. There's no chapter breaks. There's no verse breaks. It's just one big scroll. Yet Jesus can... That's it right there. That in itself is amazing, isn't it? He knows exactly where to go. Without any kind of breaks, all probably run on, all the letters going together, no breaks, but yet he knew exactly where to start. What does that tell us? Jesus knew the scripture. He knew it. It was in his heart, and he knew where to go for it. Now we see here, Jesus' mission is not random. He is crystal clear about his mission. And if we follow him, our mission isn't random either. And we're going to see in a little bit on my second point is what his mission was. But are we clear on why we're here? What God has called us to do? If Jesus himself carried out his mission in the power of the Spirit, how much more do we need the Spirit for the mission he's given us? Clarity and calling follow from dependence on God. We don't have to wonder what Jesus was about, and we shouldn't be unclear about what we're about either. Our mission is his mission. This brings us to my second point. Jesus brings hope to the hurting. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed. Now, he's reading this from Isaiah, and we know it today as Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. There's a little bit of difference. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2 say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, we see a little bit of difference in wording, but I would argue there's not much difference. The meaning's the same. The words may be different, but the meaning's there the same. So I don't want to get lost in the differences there. But Jesus is being very clear here on why he has come. Why he has come as man. First, don't forget, he says again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Which in my mind, I think, well, Jesus needs the Spirit. How much more do I need the Spirit? How important is that Spirit to me if Jesus is, again, saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Even when he went out to the wilderness, the Spirit was with him. So how much more do we need that Spirit within us? I think sometimes we get caught in the idea that, oh, no, we can do this under our own power. I don't know about anybody else, but usually when I try to do that, it does not work out very well. Usually it gets even more messed up because, honestly, I'm a sinner in need of grace. And if you don't know it yet, so do you. But again, these verses from Isaiah that he reads, he is telling them who he is and what he's doing. He came to proclaim the good news to the poor. He came to proclaim the gospel, who he was, what he is there for. He wanted to proclaim redemption through his blood. But not only just to the, when we think of poor, maybe it's just me. I go to material things right away. But here Jesus is talking about the spiritually poor. He sent to proclaim liberty to the captives. He wanted to set us free. He came to save his people. Do we get that? Or do we not think of that enough? Or do we not put enough weight behind that at times? I know I could do better with it. He came to recover the sight of the blind. And I don't think he's just talking physical sight. He's talking about that spiritual sight that so many were probably sitting there missing because they were blind and did not see who was standing there in front of them. In their mind, they were probably, oh, this is just Jesus. This is just another kid that grew up here and the carpenter, not realizing that the Savior of the world was standing in front of them, preaching to them. And he wanted to set free those that were oppressed. Sometimes I think we can all say that we're oppressed at some time. And we're in this world that's fallen. I think it would be normal to feel that at times too. But Jesus has come to take that away for us. That we can have the hope in eternal life in abundance with him. Jesus is basically saying here, here I am, the one you have been waiting for. I am the awaited Messiah, the Savior you've been waiting for. Yet, how many were blind to that in that synagogue that day? Or even the other synagogues that he was going to? I think sometimes we can be blind when Jesus is right there in front of us showing himself to us and we just miss it. Are your eyes open today to see who Jesus truly is? Not even just today, but when we leave from here, we need to keep our eyes open for Jesus. Because I think there's so many times that we miss his presence in our lives. In all this, Jesus is not saying that he is here to make life better. Rather, he is saying he came for a greater purpose, which is the eternal life of abundance, freedom, joy, and the focus of hope. Jesus is saying there is a transformative power he is offering. We need to realize that this is not about us. It is about the love the Father has for each that he sent his Son to this broken world to redeem and give us hope. Jesus came to rescue us from sin. Jesus came to rescue us from ourselves. Just imagine this, a broken piece of pottery restored by a master craftsman, not hidden away in shame, but displayed as a testimony of the craftsman's skill. That's what Jesus does with our broken lives. He pieces everything back together and puts it on display for the world. How well are you displaying yourself to the world? If we are following Jesus, we just can't talk about hope. We bring it in words and actions. The gospel isn't just information, it's transformation. And Jesus invites us to bring the same hope to the hurting world. This brings me to my third point. Jesus invites us to join him today. Verse 19 to 21, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, the year of the Lord's favor is a reference back to the Jubilee year, which is a time when land that had been sold due to a debt would be returned to its original owner. Debts would be forgiven and Hebrew slaves would be freed. Jesus is saying here, I'm here. I'm here to cancel your debts. I'm here to save you spiritually. And I kind of chuckle every time I read verse 20, because I just pictures Jesus standing up in front of everybody. He has the scroll there, and he gets done reading, and he's just rolls it up nice and slow, not saying anything, and then walks off. Probably nice and slow, sits down. Everybody's waiting. Oh, you just read the scripture. Now preach to us. And Jesus is like, nope. That said enough, I'm going to sit down. God's word does say enough. Are you taking it to what it's meant to be? It's full power that this book has. Like Jesus just said, oh, I read this, I'm good. I don't have to explain anything, I'm good. He could have went on and preached, but he didn't. He just sat down. He said, I said enough. I need not say no more. Are we letting the scriptures speak enough for us? Or do we have to try to find more answers? Jesus didn't find any more answers. He just read the scriptures. But again, we get to the end. Verse 21. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What is he saying here? He's like, if you haven't got it already out of the first couple verses that I just said, here, I'm going to be very blunt. I'm here to save the world. I'm here. This scripture, that all the this mission is being fulfilled in Jesus. I think sometimes we need to be that blunt at times too, and just say the way it is. But Jesus always liked to get people to think, didn't he? The parables, and when we step back and actually think and ask ourselves questions, we can come up with some good answers. Because the Spirit will pour into us. Again, how is this possible? They could all be sitting there. How is this possible? The scripture being fulfilled in this man here? And you can read later on what happens afterwards and how Jesus knew he was going to be denied in his own hometown. But again, we see his mission. We see his purpose. But not only that, we see our mission through him. He spells it out very clearly here. We need to realize that the mission of Jesus didn't end in Nazareth. He calls his followers, us, to carry it forward. In John 20:21, he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." His mission becomes our mission. Are you on mission with Jesus? Are you doing your part as a disciple to make disciples? Are you responding to what Jesus is calling you to? Being a disciple requires action and uncomfort at times. Are you taking leaps of faith to share Jesus with the lost? In the times we share Jesus, we need to remember that the scripture has been fulfilled through him, and that we also have that same spirit Jesus had in us, to give us the strength and perseverance and courage to step out when we may not feel qualified. To sum this all up, Jesus proclaimed the mission. Jesus lived the mission. Now he invites us to carry out that mission. Are you carrying out Jesus' mission today? Or are you stuck in your own comfort and not being willing to take that step of faith into uncomfort areas? Uncomfort can be difficult at times. It can be hard. And I know this firsthand. Again, I'm the church planner that's going to Kutztown. Leaving a church that I absolutely love. Leaving people that I've had relationships with for a number of years now, that I've gotten very close to. It's hard to leave. But God has called me to his mission. And his mission for me is to reach those in Kutztown. And I found out through my life, I'm I was saved late in life and my life was a mess. But I found out through Jesus and believing in Him that when I say yes, He holds me, comforts me, and gives me everything I need to do what He's calling me to do. And to be honest, do I really feel qualified to do what He's calling me to do now? Probably not. But guess what? He'll qualify me. As long as I am being obedient to Him, He will provide. And He will provide for you as well. God calls us each to different missions, all very similar, all dealing with the passage that we just had today, but in different ways. God may call you to come along to plant the church in Kutztown, to be a part of that mission. He may not call you there. He may call you to pray for that. He may call you to financially support it. He may not even call you anywhere near Kutztown. Who knows? He might call you down to Laureldale with Christian Lefko and playing that church. But we are all called for His mission. We all have a part. We all are part of the body, and each part has its purpose. Each has a unique purpose. Again, not everyone sitting here is going to be a church planter. Not everyone here is going to go to a church plant. Not everyone here is going to do certain things. But we're all called for some purpose. Are you going to say yes to that purpose? And if you're sitting there today and wondering, how can I do that? Just say yes. Say yes and go, okay, let's go. And God will direct your steps. Remember those three short stories I said earlier? Each of those people found purpose when they took their first small step in God's mission, which was different for each of them. The same is true for us. You don't need to have all the answers. You don't have to have everything figured out. You just need to say yes to the mission of Jesus today. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus calls us to be the light of the world. Imagine a dark room suddenly illuminated by one single candle. That candle represents each one of us. Tasked with bringing hope and guidance to others, joining Jesus means understanding our role as bearers of His light, dispelling darkness in the world around us. How can you shine in your home, your workplace, your community, surrounding communities, or even maybe the world? Again, you may not be called to go out, but you have communities around you that need the gospel. You have people that need the gospel. Are you willing to make that step of uncomfort that it can be to talk to people about Jesus in every situation that you're in? Jesus launched His ministry with a mission to bring the good news, healing, and freedom. And now He calls us to join in carrying that mission to the world around us. Just let that sink in. That's not just for us pastors. That's not just for anyone else. It's for everyone. Jesus' mission is not a history lesson. It's an invitation. So, I'm going to end with this question before I pray. Will you step into that today? To take that step of faith where God is calling you? no matter where that is. Let me pray. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your example of what your mission is. God, I thank you that we are called to that mission. God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you give us to be able to accomplish that mission. But most of all, God, I thank you. I thank you for sending your Son. I thank you for his obedience to the cross. I thank you that his blood was poured out for us, that we can be made right with you, that our sins can be forgiven, that we have direct access to you in a relationship. And God, I just ask that none of us here, sitting here today, ever take advantage of that relationship, that we cherish it and honor it, and that be our focus, that we can have made a custom to come together to worship corporately and individually, that we have hope of an abundant life that we can't even imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.